We're concluding our series, Glow in the Dark. Friends, when we grow, we what? Glow. You know, we glow, we were created by God to glow. The song said we are soldiers of the light. And when we grow in our love for God, and we grow in God's love and grow in Jesus Christ, when we grow in our faith, we light up. And we glow in the world. You know, last week we focused on Paul's words here. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. And then he charges us. He says, live as children of light. We are soldiers of the light, marching on this Ephesians road, so to speak. And I want to march us through the last two chapters of this book. How many of you have been reading Ephesians? All right. There are factors in all of our lives that determine our glow, that determine how bright we shine in life. And our love for God and that relationship with God keeps the flame burning. And what I want to do is look at some areas that will increase our glow and help us burn brighter. Paul says this, he says, do not get drunk with wine, which only ruin you. Instead, be filled with what? The Spirit. I will tell you, I was raised in a church that taught the Christian faith was anti-alcohol. And I heard a lot of messages growing up about the evils of alcohol. And then I got older and I started studying the teachings of Scripture, and it got very complicated for me. First of all, I realized all of a sudden that Jesus and the disciples drank, and that alcohol was actually a staple in the society. Old Testament festivals were built around it, celebrations. Jesus incorporated wine into Holy Communion that we're going to share later on, which ours isn't wine, it's grape juice, by the way. But I think the kicker for me was when I read the passage and I realized Jesus' first recorded miracle. He turned 120 gallons of water into fine wine. And he did that for a group of people that had already drunk their host dry that day. And so I'm reading it, and I'll be honest, I found that a little bit confusing. And it kind of raised a serious question, a question that's debated. You know, should Christ followers drink alcohol or not? And thus, you got a great debate. I will tell you, this scripture here is not anti-alcohol, it's anti-drunkenness. And you find a consistency in scripture throughout that drunkenness is forbidden. Moderate drinking, I guess, when it's legally done, for the most part, is allowed, but drunkenness is unacceptable. This is a complicated issue, and that's not our focus today. But as a pastor, I feel like I need to say a few things on this. You know, through the years, I've done numerous funerals where alcohol was the result, and that alcohol became the result of a life lost. I know families that have been shattered because someone got behind the wheel and they'd been drinking. And for those loved ones that lost a loved one, they grieve for a lifetime. You know, 31% of traffic fatalities, alcohol related. That number doubles on major holidays. And those that have been around here for a while know I'm not beyond the point of pleading with people to say, promise God, promise your family, promise this church that you'll never drink and drive, that you'll call a cab, that you'll call a friend, that you'll call somebody you know here and say, come get me. Students, I know we got high school and college age here. You don't drink till you're 21. It's against the law, plain and simple. And you don't have to start when you turn 21. And I would say to you, never get in a car with someone that's been drinking. Don't do it. Don't do it. When I was in college, a group of guys, two of them were from our school. They went on a road trip on a weekend, had a few beers, and you know how this ends, right? Three funerals. Three families devastated. To this day, I look back and I think, three potential filled lives that were destroyed. Single worst decision they ever made. Now, I am not here demonizing alcohol. It isn't evil in and of itself. But I will tell you, it can ruin your life. You know, some versions of this passage say, instead of leads to ruin you, they use the word leads to depravity or debauchery. And I know hearing that, you go, wow, that's severe. But let's face it, it often leads to bad decisions and bad behavior. You know, you ask a first responder what percent of the time alcohol is involved, you know, in a domestic dispute or a fight or abuse or an accidental shooting or stabbing or a rape, every conceivable form of bad behavior. And if you were to ask a first responder that question, many of them would roll their eyes like you just asked the stupidest question on the planet. Because alcohol's usually involved. Country singer Brad Paisley, how many of you are country fans? Yeah. Woo! There's one. But you might remember he had a song several years ago that kind of made fun of those that drank. The song was called Alcohol. You know, and the song is sung first person as though alcohol is singing the song. And it says, I can make anyone pretty. I can make you believe my lie. And now I can make you pick a fight with someone twice your size because I'm alcohol. You know, I've been known to cause a few breakups. I've been known to cause a few bursts. I can make you new friends, even get you fired at work. Because I'm alcohol, you know, and wait for the chorus. And since the day I left Milwaukee and left Lynchburg and Bordeaux, France, I've been making bars lots of money and helping white people dance. Where else you get preaching like this, right? That's why we get together. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you may drink. You got to figure that out. Complicated topic. But he says, you can never get near drunkenness because it will lead to bad decisions and bad behavior. It will mess you up. Paul says, the better idea, if you're going to drink something, he says, drink in, fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. You'll never regret getting filled to the brim with things like love and joy and peace and kindness and the patience that the Holy Spirit brings into your life. He says, drink from it every day. It's free, and it leads to good decisions and godly behavior. And I'll just say, some of you today need to make that change. Maybe today is the day you decide, you know what, I'm going to curtail my alcohol consumption. I'm going to get a handle on it. I'd be glad to talk to you after the service. But you need to grow in this area so you can glow for Jesus Christ. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's better than alcohol. How? Well, he says, speak to one another with words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your heart. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. You know, the Christian faith has always been a singing faith. You know, from the book of Genesis to Revelation. God's people sang. They joined hands. They sing together in gratitude. They praise God for his goodness and for his mercy and for his grace. You know, in the Old Testament, they would have these elaborate festivals, and God's people would sing for days on end. You know, Jesus first established the communion. It was at the Last Supper in that upper room, and they sang together. And here Paul is asking Christians, he says, sing to the Lord. You know, sing to the Lord with praise in your heart, with praise in your heart. You know, Psalms, sing that to the Lord with praise in your heart. Friends, it's why we worship, to lift our voices. It's why we gather. It's what we did earlier this morning. We gather to give God our absolute best. Our absolute best. Paul's saying, sing. Give God your best singing. And if you're like me, you go, well, I can't sing. It doesn't matter. Lift your voice anyway. Give God your best. Give God your best attention. Give God your best adoration. Give God your best giving. When you lift your voice to God, let it be heard. We need to call it out of ourselves. In other words, we need to work at it and not become lazy worshipers. You know, and it takes being focused and disciplined and joyful, always tuned in to God, giving God our best. You know, part of the reason we don't glow, I'll be blunt, it's a heart issue. Our hearts are not full of gratitude. They're not full of praise to God. Do you praise God daily throughout your day? Do you praise God, take some moments here and there, thank God? I mean, that's what I think's great about Christian music. It allows a song to kind of permeate our heart or saturate our heart. You know, allowing that song to just, like the one the band just did, glow, it just gets inside you. I was listening to that in my office, and sometimes I'll just let it run the whole time I'm working on the message, just over and over. And after about 10 times of hearing glow, I will tell you, I wanted to burn brighter. I wanted my love for God to burn. I was determined that flame would never burn out. You know, I was encouraged to burn brightly so that people could see God through me. I was committed to glowing. You know, it spurred me on. And I will tell you, I need those words in my life. I need the content, the spirit of a song like that. And that song just ignited my heart and my soul. You know, I live in my head a lot. My job requires a lot of alone time. You know, just thinking, a lot of decisions to be made, a lot of listening to people and their pain and their struggles. And I'm fully aware I live under a lot of scrutiny. But I want to lead where God wants me to go. And I'm hungry for the things that God wants to show me and lead me to. And sometimes I'll pray and I'll say, God, you know, just touch my heart. And many times God will touch my heart through his word or through a friend or the words of someone else. But lately God's been speaking through music. And what happens when I hear a piece of music, I kind of gravitate toward a Christian piece. And it moves my heart and it changes my heart. You know that song, "We Are Fire, We Are Fire. Our love will burn, the flame will never die. We are brighter, we're brighter. Show them how we'll light up tonight. We will glow." And that kind of praise, when it becomes praise, when it comes from here, it ignites. It does. And the more I sing praise to God in those quiet moments, God changes me. God encourages me. And over time, God defines me. And I find it incredibly important to kind of harness God's power through that, through the music. You know, learn something that God wants me to learn that, I'll be honest, I can't learn any other way. You know, sometimes it's healing. You know, sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's direction, I find. But I'll be honest, sometimes I can't process it up here. But through the music, God begins to communicate through spirit. Allows my brain to kind of let go, and allows the music to revitalize me, or revitalize my heart or my soul. You know, Isaiah 61:3, Isaiah says that God gave us praise as a way to ignite our hearts, to cast off the spirit of heaviness, as Isaiah says. You know, some of you would do really, really well to lean into music these days because of what's going on in your life. You know, allow the psalm, those sacred hymns, that Christian music to press into you, so to speak. You know, let it lift you up, or let it speak to you, or change you, or encourage you. In fact, I would challenge you to do that. Some of you come in here depleted today. I would challenge you to just find a piece of Christian music that speaks here. It will serve you well. Trust me. You will grow, and it'll increase that glow, give you some energy in life. You know, Paul goes on, and he says, submit yourselves to one another because of your reverence for Christ. The next 20 verses, we're not going to go through it this morning, but Paul gives very specific instructions, like how a spouse should treat their spouse, you know, how a parent should treat their children, how children should treat their parents, how a supervisor should treat their workers. I'd encourage you to read it. It's 20 verses. Won't take very long. You can do it for your morning devotion. But start at 5:21 and then go into chapter 6 and read the first 9 verses of 6. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage. And Paul is actually asking all of us to regularly set aside our rights, our privileges, and humbly serve one another. And Christians, before you protest about this, I want to remind you whose name you bear. You know, Jesus Christ was fully God. And he ascended from heaven. He left the security and the splendor of heaven. And he come to this earth, becomes fully human. And Jesus came here not to be served, but to serve. And he gave it all up, ultimately dying on the cross for us. And Paul is saying to Christians, he says, out of reverence for the one whose name you bear, out of reverence for Christ who served us, you know, would you consider laying aside your rights at home, at your job, in the church, and humbly serve other people? It's very instructive, and I believe if we put it into practice, it would change every single relationship in your life. If that verse was taken to heart, if everyone in your home decided to make that courageous choice to mutually submit, joyfully submit to one another, those relationships in your home would be significantly changed and improved. In fact, you need to make a decision. You're going to be a blessing to other people, that you're going to encourage other people, that you're going to put other people first. Paul understood how quickly a self-sacrificing love and humble service to other people can change any environment in the world. Because you know what I figured out? Love never leaves a heart unchanged. It never does. Every time you go beyond what you have to do, every time you go over and you're willing to do something extra out of reverence for Jesus Christ, it changes lives, it marks lives, it softens hearts. And friends, it is revolutionary and can change the world. We live in this culture that everybody wants their rights. You know, we sue when we don't get what we think we have coming. We live in this culture that's all about self. Me, 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 me. And friends, you have to every day, every single day, every moment of every day, you have to decide that you're not going to be a rights person. You're not going to be a title person. You're not going to reign with authority, have that me, me, me type, that we're not going to be that kind of people. And we have to decide if we're willing to do that out of reverence for Jesus Christ, serve one another. We need to grow in this area. And if we were to grow in this area, we would what? Glow. You know, Christians, we are soldiers of the light. Scripture says, for we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of this dark age. It sounds like a trailer for Star Wars when you read that, doesn't it? I mean, all the powers and the forces at war. You may think when you read that, well, Paul's being a little melodramatic, don't you think? But it is a battle. And we are in a spiritual war. You know, Jesus told his followers that evil was real. That Satan, he said, comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is his battle plan. And he means business. And the fact is, we are in an all-out war in this world. You know, Peter put it a different way, 1 Peter 5:8. Peter says that the evil one, that Satan, is on the prowl seeking anybody. In other words, he's not picky, but he's seeking anybody to devour. It's a war, and we are in a war, and we are to be fighting as Christians. I will tell you, I have lost track. I've been in ministry so long now. I have lost track of how many times I've fallen into discouragement. You know, because something wasn't going right at church, or, you know, friends are going through some serious trials and it seems to be getting the best of them. Or I look at society being seduced and they're clueless. They're just clueless. And then God's Spirit will whisper to me and say, Damon, wake up. We're at war. You know, the forces of evil are at work 24/7. You know, there's a fight going on, and it's in the spiritual realm. And you better be prepared to do what you're called to do. Do your part in the fight. And I don't give in to this kind of stuff very easy. I'm more analytic. But friends, I need to be reminded that it's a war. It's a spiritual battle. That's why Paul writes this. He says, so put on God's armor now. Then when the evil days come, you'll be able to resist the enemy's attack. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. Still hold your ground. In other words, you won't become a victim of what's going on in culture and in life. And when I was reading that, the evil days kind of caught my eye, kind of centered in on. And I think I watch the news. Got terrorism, racism, violence, hatred, you know, shootings, got wars and battles. And friends, sometimes I look at culture I think the wrong side's winning. I mean, what should we do? What should we do? Paul goes on a few verses later. He says, do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on what? Every occasion, as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And I love Paul's candor here. He says, don't just stand there wringing your hands. Don't just stand there in fear. Paul says, don't just stand there. Pray. God's people are to pray. Pray on every occasion. Never give up. Pray without ceasing, Paul would say later in Scripture. As God calls on us to be people of prayer, and as we pray in all places. We pray in all things on behalf of everyone. And when we pray consistently and regularly, when we throw them, God, help them. Be with them. Guide them. What do you want me to do, God? When we do that in our lives and we lift up those prayers, they register with God. Friends, we are God's soldiers of light. We are God's people. We are to pray and we are to grow in our faith and we're to glow so that the world can see it. We're to be light in the darkness. You know, we're to burn bright. And I want to remind you, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but Paul says, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly, far more than all we can ask or imagine. It's a cosmic battle. It's a war that's going on. And yes, the spiritual forces are evil. And yes, they are vicious. And they are powerful. And yes, they are on the move in this world when you look at things globally that are happening. And yes, the evil one wants to wreak havoc in your life. But I want you to be really clear. John sets us straight. He says, little children, you know, Christians, you are from God. And have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in this world. You know, don't worry that we're getting outgunned, because we're not getting outgunned. Don't worry or waste one more minute wondering if you're alone, because you are not alone. I mean, don't worry that someday we're going to lose this battle, because, friends, we know how it ends, and Jesus Christ is the victor in it. You know, greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is God. Greater is the Holy Spirit that's in you, that's in me. Greater is the Holy Spirit in us than the one that's in this world. And, friends, we need to live optimistically in our lives because of that. And sure, there are things happening and going on in this world. But we know who's in charge. And we know who's the most powerful. Greater is the one that is in us than the one that's trying to mess this old world up. We are called to glow, friends. You know, as we prepare for communion today, you know, maybe something we talked about this morning, you know, maybe something we talked about in this series, but kind of touched your heart. I hope you'll read, chapters 5 and 6 this week. It'd be a great, great study. But maybe as we talked, something kind of struck a chord. You felt the Holy Spirit kind of touch your heart for a moment. You know, maybe as we talked, for some of you, you secretly were wondering if maybe you're drinking too much, you know, overdoing the prescription drug thing or whatever. I'd offer you a little bit of help here. There's a book come out a couple years ago. It's called Coming Clean by Seth Haynes. He was a Christian attorney. His son was battling a disease, and he just started over medicating, trying to kind of numb the pain. And as he writes, he's saying he knew he was on the wrong path. And maybe you think you're on that path. I'd recommend it. It's a good read. Grow in that area. New day, new way. You know, maybe you need to go to a support group for a while or a recovery group. And I would just tell you, if you're trying to figure it out, go and be honest. Just say, look, I'm trying to figure out if I got a problem or not. I'm not sure. But take that step. Another note, maybe you're more analytic like me. And fact is, maybe it's been a long time since God touched your heart. You can't even remember what it felt like. I would encourage you, just find a couple Christian songs. Not a bunch of them, a couple of them. That speak to your heart. That somehow kind of ignited something in you. And listen to them and let God speak to you through them. You know, let the music kind of wash over you and, you know, your mind and your heart. You know, let it challenge you, encourage you, let it move you in a new direction in your life. You know, check out Christian radio or talk to a friend that listens to Christian music. Say, hey, here's what I'm going through. You got any good music that I could listen to that you'd suggest? Or talk to me after the service. But experiment with it. You know, see if God will do something through that music. Because, friends, you grow there, it'll increase your glow. It really will. Anybody have family pressures, job pressures? I will tell you the pressures will only get more intense until you get into a mode and you're willing to give up your rights and your authority. You know, willing to say, my rights, my way, me. It's just going to keep getting tougher and tougher and tougher until you move to a new position and say, you know what, I'm going to serve others. You know, how can I bless my family tonight? You know, how can I make a contribution at work to a colleague, to someone that I work with at the office, the job site, whatever? See, maybe today is the day you lay it down. No longer me, but others first. As you grow, you'll find you glow. You get some of that life back. And I'd say to all of our Christians here today, do not forget we're at war. We are soldiers of the light. We are to be praying instead of wringing our hands. We're to be growing in our faith. And as we grow in our faith, we begin to glow in the darkness. And we make a difference. And maybe today is the day you make a stand and say, you know what, God, use me. Make a difference in this world. Help me glow in this dark, dark place. I will tell you a couple things. One, you'll sleep better if you trust God. And I will tell you, greater is the one that's in you than the one that's trying to disassemble this old world. We do not have to live in fear. We are not captive to the ways of this world. We are conquerors, as Paul says. We are overcomers. We are soldiers of the light. We were created by God. We were called by God to glow in this world. And friends, when we grow, we what? You know, pray and ask God to increase your glow. God's able to do far more than you can dream up, far more, abundantly more, because he's greater. And what I want to do is we prepare for communion. I'm not going to pray this morning. I want the song that you heard earlier to be our prayer. And so we're going to stand, and we're going to glow, and we're going to lift our voices to God.